Good afternoon, everybody. This is Ray Cibula from Cornell University's Employment and Disability Institute, and I want to welcome you to today's WISE event, which provides some free support services to folks who are on disability benefits and are ready to go to work. We've got a great topic today that you will at the very least find interesting and I hope very exciting, because it's really an endless amount of information we're going to give you today, and there are infinite possibilities for you with the information we have today. We've got some great folks from Social Security who are going to visit with us today. We're going to be talking about financial stability and financial literacy and what you need to know about amassing resources. You've all been connected to today's webinar through the speakers and microphone in your computer. If you have any questions or any issues with that, let us know. You can open up your question box by going to the little Q&A spot up on top of that console, and it's going to open this larger box. Type in your question, your comment, and hit send. As a matter of fact, throughout today's session, we want you to make comments, and we also want you to ask questions. And what we will do, Jamie, will go through those questions. We will take them mainly at the end of the session. And it's not likely we'll get to everybody's question. So Jamie's going to try to pick the questions that pertain to the largest number of people. We just want to warn you about that ahead of time. We will, however, give you some resources so that you can get your particular questions answered. Now, if you do have questions or issues, I should say, with your audio or listening in on today's webinar via the computer, you can click on the audio box at the top of your webinar console, and it's going to open the box up. You're automatically, as I said, using your computer to hear us. If you need to call in, just click Use Phone, I Will Call In, and you will receive today's phone number, access code, and your ID. Now, webinar accessibility is a very, very important factor for us. We want these sessions to be as accessible as possible to as many people as possible. We take our obligations very seriously, and we try to do what we can to make this the best experience for everybody. If you do have any issues during today's session, please let us know. You can let us know by signing in to that question and answer box and let us know, or you can get back to us via email after today's session. And if you do have problems, please explain what those problems are and let us know what your solutions might be. If you know of a program we can use or some kind of fix that we can make, let us know that as well. That's actually even more helpful to us than letting us just know what kind of issues you're having. So please, that's important to us. If you do end up calling in today, here is your toll-free number. We want to make sure it doesn't cost you anything to call in. 855-749-4750. And the access code today is 640-042-490. Now, if anybody has a pencil and paper handy, write down this phone number, because we won't be able to get it to you easy during the session. 855-749-4750, and the access code is 640-042-490. The closed captioning link for today's session is www.ilr.cornell.edu/edi/captions.cfm?activity_id=4104. The webinar PowerPoint and accessible PDFs and the text are located at the URL link you received with your confirmation today. We will have this presentation, the recording, and the transcript and the audio available in approximately 2 weeks. Mike, our tech guy, gets them up there as soon as he could, but we'd like to wait. We'd like to ask you for 2 weeks worth of time to get that up. If you want to hear this again, you can listen in at www.ilr.cornell.edu/edi/m-wise-webinars.cfm. Now, during that question and answer period, we told you how to use your Q&A box to get us those questions. There's also a chat feature. We prefer you don't use that, but go ahead if you find that easier. Or if you do want to email your questions, you can email them to choosework_questions, all one word, choosework_questions@gmail.com. After today's webinar, if you think of a question, drop it to us at support@choosework.ttw.net. That's one word, support@choosework.ttw.net. Now, before we introduce the rest of our speakers, I've got some questions for you guys. We like to know who we're talking with. We like to know how you heard about us so we can use your information to get to our new audiences. So what I'm going to ask you some simple questions, and if you could just make a selection and hit enter, we'll be all set. So the first question is, how did you hear about today's WISE event? Did you hear about it via email, Facebook, or Twitter, the website, a friend of family, or some other place? Just let us know how you learned about today's session, and we'll know where to advertise. And we actually have quite a few others today. So those of you who did answer others, because there is such a large portion today, I'm going to ask you to send that information to support@choosework.ttw.net and let us know how you heard about it. All right. Thank you for that. I got to wait 20 seconds for this to close down. We'll get to our second question. They're all pretty easy. Everyone will pass. All right, and our second question is, what do you hope to learn from today's webinar? Do you want to know about the ticket to work? Do you want to know about work incentives for SSI, work incentives for SSDI, employment networks, and state VR agencies, or something else? All right, you guys are going really fast. I appreciate that. All right, we're going to shut that one down and wait my 20 seconds. I keep telling Mike we need to get the Jeopardy theme music going during these questions, but we'll get in trouble if we do that. Okay, this one's real simple and real quick. What is your gender, male or female? All right, thank you very much. suppose if I sing the Jeopardy theme song off key, it won't violate anybody's copyright. Okay, what is your age? Please pick from one of these groups. 18 or younger, 19 to 25, 26 to 40, 41 to 55, 56 to 65, or 66 and older. All right, thank you very much. We got one more. The little graph that shows up when you people answer looks just like it should on this one. All right, and your last one. We know that some of you are not alone watching us on your computer. Some of you may have other people there. So besides yourself, how many other people are sitting with you at your computer terminal? Yeah, we got a couple of parties out there. Okay, thank you very much for that. Now, you know me, I'm Ray. I am going to be welcoming you. As we've done that, I'm going to introduce our speakers and pose questions to the speakers during the session and most certainly after the session, and may help them along with some of the websites as we're going through. We have Dwana Mitchell and Terry Uttermullen, both from Social Security Office of Employment and Support Programs, two very, very nice women who know a lot about this stuff and are great resources. So I think you're not only going to enjoy hearing them, but they're going to give you a lot of great information. And we're going to talk about those tools for financial independence today. At the end of the session, I'm going to come back with you and do the question and answer session and provide you with some other resources. Remember, I said that we don't want you to go away without any answers, so if we don't get to your question, we will be giving you information so that you can get those questions answered. Now, I also want to remind you that today is the first part of a two-part webinar. We are starting today. We will have part two on Wednesday, April 24th at 3:00. So all of you who have signed up for both, great. If you've only signed up for today's session, please sign up for the follow-up session so you'll have the entire picture after the 24th is finished. And as always, we have a welcome from Bob Williams, who's the Associate Commissioner at Social Security, and he's also with the Office of Employment Support Programs and is a great friend to all of us. So Bob, Michael, if you could cue up Bob's video, that would be great.
Hello and welcome to today's webinar. My name is Bob Williams and I am the Associate Commissioner for Employment Support at the Social Security Administration. We run the Digit 2 Work and Self-Sufficiency Program, which assists persons ages 80 through 64 on SSDI or SSI who want to improve their life and future by becoming employed. By viewing this webinar, you will learn how you can receive training, become employed, increase your earnings, reduce your reliance on disability benefits, and of becoming fully self-supporting whenever possible. Blood Naked program is not for everyone. This is why Blood Choice Up for the Crew take advantage of it is yours, and yours alone. I know firsthand that people with disabilities face many barriers to becoming and staying employed. This is especially true in today's economy. The major reason for disability benefits is that Social Security determines that you were not able to work enough to support yourself. But I also want you to know that having a significant disability no longer has to be a lifetime far to employment and greater financial security. Blood Ticket can offer you the choices, training, opportunities, and support you need to go to work and gain financial independence. I hope today's webinar begins your journey towards greater self-sufficiency. Your life and future can be better. Thank you for listening.
Okay. Thanks, Mike. What I'd like to do now is turn the floor over to Terry Uttermolen. She's with Social Security. I'll let her give you a little bit more information about herself. Take it away, Terry.
Thanks, Ray. As Ray said, I'm Terry Uttermolen. I work in the Office of Employment Support Programs, and I've been interested in helping people get back to work from disability benefits for many years, even before I came back to work for Social Security. I have a disability. I've been on benefits. I've worked off of benefits. I know it's not easy, and I want people who want to do it to be successful and not just successful at kind of limping along. If you can find yourself in a situation where you're taking care of yourself and you have more choices, life is a little more comfortable. So, which brings us to what is financial independence? And that's always a personal definition. What do you consider financial independence? We have some definitions, sort of, here. You know, being able to support yourself from money that you make from work, being able to buy dog food, sorry about that, being able to make choices, you know, going to buy a cup of coffee instead of feeling that you just can't. I was recently visiting a friend of mine who has very low personal budget, and we were walking in a store, and she was looking at things and judging whether she wanted them based on pennies of difference in price. Well, if you have more income, that's not as big a deal. You have more wiggle room for things that you really want. You can pick the more expensive things if you think it's more comfortable or better for you. And you wouldn't have those choices. I wouldn't live where I live. I wouldn't have the comfort that I have if I weren't working. And I feel very fortunate that I was able to work off of benefits. The third reason that we have on this, or the third definition we have on this slide, is that you're not limited by Social Security. I think a lot of people think, I get benefits, I'm not allowed to work. And it's not that you're not allowed to work. It's that you are receiving a benefit to sustain yourself while you're not working. If you can find work, if you can use these tools to build financial independence for yourself, you're going to be more comfortable than just being on benefits and letting the fact of being on benefits limit you. Next slide is financial independence possible for me? And we're talking about tools. Some of these are tools, just smart ways to manage money. I know that since Dawn and I started doing this, I've become much more aware of bad financial habits that I've gotten into, and much more aware of debt. But we're going to talk about some of those tools. I think the primary goal for all of us for this is, people who are listening, if you find the opportunity and you go to work, you want to make it pay. You want it to be as large an improvement in your quality of life as possible. Let's go to slide 11, tools for financial independence. Most people work because they need the money. You know, we work to pay the light bill. If you don't have an income, and you're going to be in pretty bad shape. The ticket to work, we're going to talk about in a little bit, but the ticket to work is a tool to help you get that job, that work, that can help you build financial independence. The lovely Dwana Mitchell is going to talk about SMART goals, making good goals for yourself and how to frame them. She's also going to talk about budgets and the importance of banking and credit, because all of those things can impact what you get to take home and keep. In 2 weeks, we're going to talk about the Earned Income Tax Credit and individual development accounts that are also tools to help you gain more financial independence. The Earned Income Tax Credit is a credit that comes to low-wage workers, and individual development accounts are ways for low-income people to save money, hopefully to get out of the low-income, the kind of the struggles that you get stuck with. The next slide. I derive a lot of pleasure from my work. I think a lot of people do. I think I'm very fortunate that I derive as much pleasure, but you get to meet people, you get to contribute, you get to define yourself as what you do. And I think we do that a lot in this culture. And the last time we did this training, I told a story about a point in my life when I was on benefits, and I have a sister who is also blind and has a law practice in a small town, and somebody walked up to me and said, "Are you the lawyer?" And I said, "No." And they said, "What do you do?" And I started crying because I derive a lot of my self-image from working and having an income. So it's not saying that people who don't work don't have value. I'm just saying that that's how I define myself. And I think that's pretty common in our culture. Next slide. Are there risks? And the truth is there are. I'd really love to say that all you have to do is say, "Oh, I'm going to go get a job, and everything's going to be easy, and I'm going to get the accommodations I need, and there's going to be a job out there that'll help me make a lot of money, and I won't have to deal with any problems." But that's not the case. The case is there are risks. It's worth taking the risk, but they're out there. And there are some things that you can do to help avoid the risks coming up and biting you. You've got to be smart. You've got to plan. And you've got to keep track of the benefits that you get, how they're impacted by work. You've got to follow the rules. Go to this, slide 14. And by following the rules, that means telling Social Security if you're working. It means telling food stamps if you have additional income. It means keeping track. Learn how and when you need to report your earnings, because you don't want to end up being afraid of a letter in the mail that says, "We're writing to let you know that you owe us, you know, your firstborn child and all the money that you've just made." We don't want to do that. We really, really, really want work to pay, and we want it to pay you. Keep good records. So that means keep track of your pay stubs, keep track of your W-2s. I'll be talking about work incentives in a minute, but one of the things that you really want to keep track of are expenses that you have that are related to your disability, that things that you pay for out of pocket, because it might help you reduce the impact on your benefits right away. Hang on a second. I'm sorry?
All right. I think that was for me. Okay. Okay. We have a success story. Robert has allowed us to share his story. And Robert's a veteran who spent 7 years serving in the Army. And he had a surgical mishap in the year 2000 and had an injury to his spinal cord that left him with limited mobility. And Robert decided it was worth taking a risk in order to become more dependent. And he used his ticket to work and discovered his passion for helping other veterans. And you know, we have a lot of them right now who are trying to make that transition from the military to civilian life. And Robert has allowed us to share his story. So Michael, if you can cue up Robert's video. Thank you.
Coming straight out of high school from Chicago, I had a strong interest for the military. I joined the service and I went into the Army. And my job that I went into service for was a communications, and I was a communications specialist. I spent two tours in Europe and Germany, and I spent over about 7 years total in the military. Once I completed my time in the service, I continued to work for the government as a United States Postal Carrier. And after 13 years of this work, it began to take a toll on me health-wise. It led to some medical issues that I started to have. I became disabled from a surgery kind of mishap where a disc ruptured and it paralyzed me. The Ticket to Work program was introduced to me throughout my rehabilitation time period. The VA was assisting me. They even offered me the ideas about if I ever thought about going back to work. So they introduced me to a representative from the Social Security Board who told me about this Ticket to Work program. Well, as the representative explained the program, it was obvious that there were some safety nets there. Some of the things that I was worried about, I really didn't have, there was no worry at all. Now, it wasn't until the Volk Rehab representative for paralyzed veterans, who again introduced me to the Ticket to Work program, and I told him I had heard of it and I was aware of it, but at this time, as years had went by, I felt a little bit more stronger about actually accepting it this time, because I knew that I was at a level health-wise, and I felt it was time for me to make some serious decisions and not be living on a fixed income when I had such a desire to want to do much more. The program had told me all the things like, well, if it don't work out, it was still enough of a support there to say that you don't have to worry about that. They even gave me a year, even while I was working, that I was still covered under Social Security. They make sure that they are there to assist you and help you in all types of ways, not only to put you back anywhere, but you feel that you need to get there, but to follow you once you're there. After being part of this Ticket to Work program, I started looking again into the availability of positions for a National Service Officer. At that time, there just happened to be some available positions.
He put in the ticket, that he had to apply for a position normally. That position came up, and he, shortly thereafter, he was selected as a candidate to be a National Service Officer at the Chicago office.
After the interview, they immediately told me that I was very much qualified and I could prepare to begin to come to work. I became a National Service Officer for the Paralyzed Veterans of America. Paralyzed Veterans of America, of course, is a service organization dedicated to helping those veterans with spinal cord injury, spinal cord disease, as we assist all veterans with VA benefits, and we advocate for veterans' health care.
I'm Robert Stainer, National Service Officer with the Paralyzed Veterans of America.
I greet and meet with especially the new veterans or a new patient that has just come in for the first time. Coming back to work has probably built up my independency, the self-pride, and, you know, I'm an achiever again. You know, I got something to offer society, and, you know, it's almost like you're, you know, regaining a good portion of dignity back. Prior to even coming back to work, I was highly got interested in some of the disability sporting events, wheelchair games. I'm used to participating in that every year, and it was a big event for me. Taking the work program, it helped open up the door and put me back to where, you know, it's almost like it put my life back on track.
Okay, we want to thank Robert again for letting us use his story. And as he pointed out, he took the risk. He found out that there were safety nets, and he made a successful transition. And that's what we're going to start with right now. We're going to turn it back over to Terry, and she's going to start talking about some of the benefits and some of the work incentives that are available to you. Go ahead, Terry.
Thank you. I actually want to back up just a little bit.
Okay.
I was talking about keeping records. I thought somebody had said something, which is why I said sorry. And I'm like, okay, well, it's a good time for Robert anyway. One of the things that I think is really valuable for people to do when they're planning to go back to work or once they start working, especially reporting benefits, reporting to benefit providers, is to keep a notebook. If you report something to Social Security, write down who you talk to. If you get a receipt, keep it in that notebook. Keep track of where you're working, how much you're earning, keep your pay stubs. I know it may sound like a lot of work, but it'll really help you out in the long run to know which work incentives you've used, but also just to keep the record for your own protection. Not necessarily from Social Security, but other benefit providers, just so that if you have the information they need when they need it. And you reduce the risk of being overpaid. So the next slide is Social Security disability programs. There are three different primary disability programs that we offer as an agency. The first one is slide 17, Social Security Disability Insurance. Now that's a benefit. The largest group of people who receive SSDI, or Social Security Disability Insurance, are people who've worked and paid into the Social Security system and have developed a disability and stopped working. And SSDI has its own family of work incentives, and work incentives are opportunities for people to keep benefits a little longer, maybe make work pay while you're transitioning into that successful career. The first type of benefit, as I said, is SSDI. The next one is Supplemental Security Income, SSI. And SSI is a needs-based benefit that helps people with disabilities meet food and shelter needs. SSI is a very low benefit. It has a whole different set of work incentives, and we can talk about them a little bit, but there's a lot of detail, but a lot of opportunity. With SSI, you're almost always better off if you're working. Supplemental Security Income benefit is right now about 70% of the poverty level. Meaning below poverty. So if people are receiving SSI and that's all they're receiving, it can be a very limiting situation. It's income sensitive, so a little bit of work may affect the check, but in the long run, you're going to have more money to live on if you work and you're on SSI. The next slide, there are people who get both Social Security and SSI, and that's if the Social Security Disability Insurance benefit is low enough that it's actually lower than the federal SSI payment. we exclude a little bit of that unearned income, and then we pay people the rest in our
pot. Hi, baby.
Let's go to slide 20. Ticket to work. The ticket to work is a work incentive. It's just one of many programs, but it's a useful one because it helps people with disabilities access rehabilitation services in different environments than they might otherwise. There's a state vocational rehabilitation agency, but there are also organizations called employment networks, and the employment networks provide services to help people get jobs. The ticket is a way that the Social Security Administration has created these employment networks. The ticket gives them money if you go to work and are successful. It's free. It doesn't cost you anything to use the ticket to work. It's voluntary. You do not have to use it. And an employment network does not have to provide services to you. It's a partnership between you and the employment network, and a partnership that hopefully will end up with you earning money and becoming more self-sufficient or financially independent of benefits. A ticket, as Bob said in his introduction, the ticket to work is not for everybody. Employment networks only make money if people go to work at a level that they ultimately lose benefits. So if your goal is, I'm going to maybe work a little bit at part-time and kind of sort of make a little bit of money to supplement my checks, the ticket to work probably isn't the best answer for you. Now, if you're doing that, I'm going to work a little bit part-time just to see if I can work, that still may be a real good opportunity for you to use your ticket with the understanding that your goal is to work and to work at a level that would cause your benefits to end eventually. I know in the years that I've done this, I've talked to a lot of people who needed to do something small to prove to themselves that they could do it. And I can say that of myself also. I started part-time when I went back to work and suddenly realized that I was really liking it and that I could do it and that I could make money doing it. And I have been working for the last 15 years. If you want to get started and you want to use your ticket to work, we have a call center that you can call. The number is 866-968-7842. And Ray, wake up. It's your turn to read the website.
We don't have a website yet. Do have two phone numbers, though. We have 1-866-968-7842 for voice. And 1-866-833-2967 for TTY. Or, here comes that website, Terry, you can visit www.socialsecurity.gov/work.
Thanks, Ray.
Yeah.
That's what I get for working from notes instead of... Okay, we're on slide 21?
Yep.
Okay, good. And how does the ticket to work work? Essentially, we used to give people actually a piece of paper that was printed to look like a ticket, which confused people because we got a lot of calls from people saying, well, can I take this to get to the theater? Can I use this for airplane? And the answer is no. It was just a symbol. You have a ticket to work even without having a piece of paper. And it is just the right to get these benefits from employment networks. And the benefits are the help finding a job, help building your resume, whatever services you and the employment network agree will get you where you want to be. So the first step is to find an employment network that you want to work with. And the phone number that we gave you and the website is where to find what employment networks are active in your area. And once you find an employment network that wants to work with you and you want to work with, you develop a plan. And it's really important that you think through, okay, what do I really want to do? And what do I need to get there? And can this employment network provide it? do I need to go to the state VR agency first and then maybe use the employment network later? You can do that. Anyway, we really, now I see the website. I was ahead of myself, even on my notes. Okay, so slide 22, what are work incentives? And as I said a little bit earlier, work incentives are an opportunity to transition from benefits to work. There are some work incentives that delay, on the recording that Robert did, he said, well, they even let me have my benefits for the first year. There's something, if you receive an SSDI, Social Security Disability Insurance benefit, it's something called a trial work period that lets you test your ability to work, and you can receive benefits while you're in your trial work period. Doesn't matter how much you make during that time period, and it's 9 months of benefits while you're working to help you transition. Another work incentive that is extremely valuable, and this is when I was talking about keeping a notebook, this is an important one, and this is called impairment-related work expenses. Impairment-related work expenses allow the Social Security Administration to deduct the cost of goods or services that you pay for out of pocket that are related to your disability and not reimbursed by anybody when they're looking at your earnings to see if those earnings are substantial or when they're calculating your SSI payment. So, for example, let's say you go to work, you're on SSI, and you have to buy a special piece of equipment that costs you $100. That $100 isn't going to affect your SSI payment. The Social Security Administration will subtract that when they're making a calculation of how much SSI you should get. Another huge, extremely valuable work incentive is the continuation of Medicare. If you're on Medicare and you go to work, you can continue Medicare for years without buying Medicare Part A. And even after those years run out, it's possible to buy it if you still have a disability. Medicaid is a benefit that comes with SSI in most states, or you can apply for it if you have low income. And there are ways to keep Medicaid if you're working. There are ways even to buy Medicaid in a lot of states if you have a disability and you work. Bottom line is you don't have to lose your health insurance by going to work. You don't have to lose your benefits right away, but again, we don't want you to be limited to oh my gosh, I can't lose my benefits, because if you do, then you may not have a quality of life that you really want. And I have lost my place in my ramble here.
Okay, I do have a question for you, Terry. It relates to IRWIs.
Yes,
when you were telling people to keep records early on, you told them to keep records of some of these expenses. And can you give them some more examples of what might be used as an IRWI that they would want to keep track of and keep receipts for?
Absolutely, and thank you. And you want to keep receipts. I'm really glad you said that, Ray, because I was thinking it, and I don't think I said it.
Thank you.
I'm just drawing a complete blank. Okay, copayment for medications. Things. Let's say you may have health insurance, but you have an out-of-pocket cost. That's something that you could deduct as an impairment-related work expense. Costs for going to the physician, as long as it's for an impairment. Goods or services that you need because of your disability. Let's say you have a personal care attendant who helps you have lunch at work, and you pay that person out of pocket. That could be an impairment-related work expense. And Ray, I know you can think of more than I can right now.
You know, I mean, we're talking about, you know, we heard your dog barking, and everybody hears my dog barking when I'm at home. But if you do have a service animal
dog, yep.
or a companion animal, you know, that animal comes along with vet bills and food bills and all kinds of stuff that has to be done. So if you, I think IRWIs are one of those things where you need to keep track of just about everything that you're spending that's related to your disability. And then work with Social Security to determine which of those items or services are allowable as IRWIs. I would rather have you give Social Security too much information than not enough.
Perfect. Because if somebody is looking at your disability, your report of work, and you don't give them the information, you're not going to get the deduction. Mm-hmm. So you want to keep as much as you can. It's a very broad category, anything that's reasonable. And I've seen some pretty interesting things that the claims representative making the decision thought was reasonable. I think it's great. Any other questions or thoughts, Ray?
Not just yet.
Okay. Well, in my notes, I am to slide 23, which is visit our website for more information. And I'm going to have you read their website in just a minute. I want the listeners not to be too scared by Work Incentives. If you go to this website, it lists all of them, and it can be very, very confusing. The call center number that we gave you earlier has people who are familiar with the Work Incentives and can help you identify which ones apply to you. And looking on this website,
that's your brush.
Read carefully if you...
get your brush.
Tawana, I think
somebody's not on mute.
Yeah, somebody's not on mute.
Sorry, I'm so distractible. Anyway, so if you look at this website, the level of detail is maybe overwhelming, but just again, you can get help. You can get help. You can get benefits counseling, somebody to sit down with you and go through it and figure out, okay, these are the work incentives that apply to me. This is how I'm going to use them to reach my goal. And on that note, Ray, do you want to read the website?
Yeah, you give me all the good stuff, Terry. Thanks.
You are very exciting.
Okay. Okay, that website was just posted by Jamie in the chat box, but here it goes, www.socialsecurity.gov/disabilityresearch/wi/generalinfo.htm /SSDISSI. And I just want to give another plug to the Social Security website. I know I've been reading it off long enough, but that website is very user-friendly. Most of the information is just a click, a point and a click away. So do not hesitate to access socialsecurity.gov.
And Duana, I think you're up.
Yep.
Duana?
Hi, I'm sorry about that.
There you are.
I was double checking something with the spouse. Apologies. All right, let's see. So, my name is Duana Mitchell. Long story short, former beneficiary of both programs, worked my way off. I know it's not an easy process, but it can be done. With that being said, so, if you decide that financial independence is right for you, what's next? Next slide, please. The first thing you need are some goals. Your goal should be SMART. SMART being an acronym: specific, measurable, attainable, realistic, and timely. Okay, so let's talk about specific. For instance, I'm a newlywed. Which means I now have two moms. Lucky me. I'm actually quite thrilled to have two moms. So, turns out that my mother-in-law needs a new computer. So, our goal is to buy my mother-in-law a new computer. And we hope to buy her a new computer in the next 6 months. So my goal is specific. My goal is measurable because I have a time frame. It's attainable because we're going to take the money that we were spending on the computer that we're of mine that we're paying off to now pay for her computer. We're also going to do some slightly different things with the groceries, meaning we're going to buy some more of the store brand items so that we have a little bit more play in our spending plan. For those of you who may not be familiar with the term spending plan, I say spending plan because it sounds so much better than budget. It sounds like so much more fun. Budget sounds very confining, and spending plan just sounds so much, it sounds so much more liberating. I'm a big fan of liberation in the journey of financial independence. Sounds a lot more liberating than my budget. So, spending plan. So we're going to go with that. My goal is realistic. We're willing and able to work towards it. We can do that. We have a date for achieving our goal. In the next 6 months, we're going to get my mother-in-law a new computer so that she can play Pogo. She loves bingo on Pogo. It's her favorite thing. And we want to make sure that her computer will run Pogo correctly. So that is my SMART goal. I have a lot of other SMART goals, but that's the one that I'm choosing to tell you about today.
Dawana, I think that was absolutely brilliant, and I just have to let you know that because, you know, when I think, you know, as Terry said, when she does these presentations and when I listen to these presentations, we're always picking up tricks and realizing things that we do wrong. But SMART really does help. We're not, you know, we're trying to talk about financial independence. We're not telling you you're going to have money for everything you want. All of us have to make plans to get what we want, but it's that planning in a SMART way that makes it possible. So thank you for that, Dawana.
My pleasure. It's absolutely my pleasure, and your goals are where you start. Okay, so now that you have a goal, what do? You need a budget. I prefer spending plan, but other people say budget, so we're going to go with what's there, okay? So it's a plan of your expenses and your income for a period of time, like a month or a year. And the way to get started with one, sit down with your bills and a piece of paper so that you can calculate all the pocket change. And if you're picking up the siren, please forgive me. I live within 3 blocks of the police station and about a mile and a half from the fire station. So please forgive the siren. Let's see. So sit down with that piece of paper and figure out the pocket money, because we all have little pocket things that we do. The snack at the vending machine at the office, that oh so delicious Starbucks coffee. I love Starbucks. My husband loves Starbucks. I have a friend who we spend a lot of time there. We all love Starbucks. We all love that extra little special thing. So sit down, figure all that stuff out. Think about the tolls. Think about the money for the laundry. You know, think about all of the maybe the little nuances. If you have a thing for, I'm about to tell on myself. If you have a thing for Godiva chocolate, and you join that club they have where you can get a free piece of chocolate once a month, but inevitably when you go in there for your free chocolate, you end up buying something else. Factor in your Godiva. Got to factor that all in to get a realistic picture of how much you've got and where you're spending it. And then after you've got all of that down for where what you've got and where you're spending it, sit down and figure out where you could change some things and figure out where you can save it. Figure out, you know, maybe if I don't go in the Godiva, I know it's painful for those of us who like chocolate, but maybe if you don't go in the Godiva, or instead of going every month, maybe you go every other month. Maybe once a quarter, you know. Maybe cut down on the Godiva a little bit. Cut back on the Starbucks. Figure out where you can save that money. It's very important. Okay. So, next slide, please. If you need help putting together your budget, contact your local Center for Independent Living, and Ray Here comes a website, because I get tongue-tied on this all the time.
All right. The Centers for Independent Living can be found at www.ilru.org/html/publications/directory/index.html.
And if you happen to want more information on budgeting, you can also check out these other two websites.
Okay, we have an AARP website at www.aarp.org/money/budgeting-savings/. And an FDIC website at www.fdic.gov/consumers/consumer/money-smart/index.html. And Jamie has posted those in the chat box for you.
Okay. I just want to say something really briefly about MoneySmart. MoneySmart, in addition to being able to discussing budgeting, they also cover a lot of the other topics in MoneySmart that we're addressing in this webinar. So that definitely may be a site that you want to hang on to. You can go there. They have a lot of information on a number of the topics that we cover and some of the things that we couldn't cover today. So that may be a site you definitely want to hang on to. All right, that being said, now that you've got your spending plan, you figured out how you can save some money, where's a good place to put that money? In the bank. In the bank is an excellent place to put your money, and let me tell you why. If you put your money in the bank and someone comes in your house, accidentally, someone comes in your house and they happen to peek under the mattress, they go in that jar marked asparagus in the refrigerator. They don't run into your money. They don't find your money. They don't find that little special hidey hole that you have, because your money is safe in the bank with, you know, the huge safe and the time and the vaults on timers and surrounded by people with weapons. So a bank is an excellent place to keep your money. You also want to build that banking relationship, because if you need that loan for a house, if you need that loan to go to school, if you need, you know, a loan for a bigger purchase, you want to build that relationship with your bank. It's very important to build that relationship. It goes into all of the other things that we'll be talking about. It goes into your credit and everything else that I'll be talking about in just a few minutes. So you want to have a savings account. It keeps your money safe while you save for your goal. You want to have a checking account. It gives you quick money to your bills. You can for the money to pay your bills. I also do my online banking, which to me is one of the most brilliant inventions ever. I don't have to go to the post office. I don't have to worry about stamps. I can sit in front of my computer and pay my bills. I think it's one of the most brilliant ideas. But so you can pay your bills, you can buy things, and you can keep your money safe. Next slide, please. Okay. Bank on. Sometimes I know I've had family members who've had issues with banks. They have perhaps made some errors. You know, we all make mistakes. It's part of being human. We just need a chance to start over. Bank On is a program that has options for people who are either unbanked, meaning they don't use banks, or they're underbanked, meaning they may have a bank account, but they use other options like payday loans, options that may not help with building your financial picture. I'm sorry, I just had a mental flash onto a lender that I see the commercial for all the time, and I sat down one day, and they in very small print at the bottom, they have a listing of how much interest you pay them when you borrow money from them. If you borrow the maximum amount of money from them, and it you pay it back in like 64 monthly payments, it comes, when I sat down and did the math, the money you end up paying them is actually like five times what you borrowed. So, you know, that's why you may not want to deal with those types of lenders. You may be better off working with a bank. If you need more information about BankOn, they have a website.
At http://joinbankon.org.
If you maybe want to do something like a bank, but maybe something a bit smaller, a bit more personal, you can also find a credit union in your area. I'm a big fan of banks and credit unions. I think that having that banking relationship, regardless of whether you choose a bank or whether you choose a credit union, is extremely important. You can find your credit union or what credit unions are in your area at
www.mycreditunion.gov/pages/default.aspx.
Next slide, please. Now that you've got your goal, you've got your budget, you've gotten banked, here's what's next. Your credit. Your credit is extremely important, because if it's good, you will have a much easier time doing what you need to do in terms of getting loans for the larger purchases, like the home, like the education, like the car. If those are the things that you want to do. But let's say that, like most of us, including myself, you may have had a slip at some point. Let's say, okay, there was a slip. And you may need a little help getting it back together. That's when you want to make sure you make your payments on time. You want to make sure that you contact your creditors, make arrangements. You know, you can get it back together. Just because you had a slip does not mean it has to stay not in the best of shape or not in the shape you would like it forever. It is possible to rebuild. You just have to take it one step at a time. Next slide, please. All right. If you want more information on how to use money, these websites can be of help to you.
Okay, the first one is www.realeconomicimpact, that's one word, realeconomicimpact.org. And the second one is www.fdic.gov/consumers/consumer/moneysmart/index.html.
Next slide. Let's see. Financial independence. Is it possible for me? I'm trying to remember which section we're on. If this is my section or Terry's section. Next slide, please, because I'll be able to tell you after I see the next slide. Let's see. Financial independence is absolutely possible. You can have the good job, the good career, and the self-supporting future. I know it's hard. I know that it's hard work, and it takes planning and education and support from Social Security and other resources. Believe me, I've been there. I know it's hard. It can take a while. We're not talking about an instant race thing. I think it's a quote from Margaret Thatcher. She said, you have to plan your work and work your plan. That's exactly what we're talking about. You have to just go ahead and plan your work and then work your plan. And it may just take a bit of stick-to-itiveness, to borrow a word, to get there. But it is more than possible to get there. Next slide, please. All right. On that note, I believe that I will turn it over to my lovely friend and colleague, Ms. Terry Uttermulling.
What are you turning it over to me, Duane? I thought it was Ray at this point.
Is it Ray at this point?
All right. Ray's going to take over, I guess, from both lovely women. Duane, you gave me all kinds of things to think about. And, you know, I'm thinking about people who are thinking this is just like way too much. And it's not. It really isn't. If she meant, you know, Duana mentioned payday loans and those little check cashing stores. If you're using those, you're spending a lot of your monthly income just to get a check cashed. If you decide today that you don't want to do that anymore, your first step should be to go to your local credit union. Those people are phenomenal at helping you set up accounts, teaching you how to use them, and you have probably saved 20% of your monthly income. That's the first part of building assets. And it may be scary and it may seem hard, but we're not asking you to jump in and buy a new car and buy a house tomorrow. We're asking you to just think about what you're doing and stop Starbucks once a week or don't go to Godiva, Duana, and put that $5 in that credit union. And it's that easy to start. Now, for more information on Social Security work incentives, we've got the plan to achieve self-support, which is almost a way to begin to amass money and funds in order to attain a vocational goal. If you need training, you know, whether it's technical training, whether it's formal educational training, Social Security will let you set aside money. This is an SSI program, but will let you set aside some money that goes above the current resource limits so that you can use that money to spend on things that are related to that work goal. So if somebody out there wants to become a kindergarten teacher, we've got a way for you to do it. If somebody out there wants to become a truck driver, we've got a way for you to do it. Want to be a plumber, an electrician? We can make that happen. You know, and those past plans are progressions. It can take quite a while. You move at your own pace to fulfill the plan, and at the end, you have a job, you have a career, which will allow you to become financially independent. And I want to give you a website to look at. Just look at it and play with it. It doesn't cost you a cent to look and explore. And it's www.ilr.cornell.edu/EDI/pass. And that's going to get you an interactive website that will allow you to consider what you might want to do and actually build a past plan very intuitively. I have to congratulate the web team and my colleague Ed Lopez who built that site because it's phenomenal. And we've got hundreds of people who are using it to build on passes. I also want to mention that we do have other archives that are available to you. You know, today we're talking about financial stability. Terry mentioned some of the programs that you might be receiving benefits from, some of the work incentives. What is an IRWI? Well, if you look in the archives that we're going to, you know, that these webinars are all posted in, you can access the other presentations that were made, and we have some basic presentations in there as well that discuss all of the work incentives that are available. And I'm going to read that for you again. You can look at those and listen to those webinars at www.ilr.cornell.edu/EDI/m-wise-webinars.cfm. So you can get some more basic information. Or as we like to say all the time, this is a no wrong door program. You can contact just about anybody to get into this program. When you want to consider work, when you want to just get some information about what work will do to your current situation. And remember what Terry said, it's only going to make your current situation better and richer. But when you start We're looking at an employment team. You know, that's you, that's your support network, meaning maybe a family member, maybe a spouse, maybe a counselor. It's a benefits planner. It might be the VR agency in your state or an employment network. You can start anywhere, but if you want to speak to an expert to get information or get the ball rolling, call the Ticket to Work helpline at 1-866-968-7842, or for TTY users, 866-833-2967. You want to do something and not even talk to anybody? socialsecurity.gov/work. You can read the blog. You can get all of the information you need about returning to work. You can watch other success stories from people like Robert. There are some great success stories about people who have decided, yes, this is worth the risk, and succeeded, and succeeded. And I need to tell you, I don't work for Social Security, but have been doing this for a long time. Social Security wants these programs to work. So all you're going to find is support and planning support. If you want to start by contacting an employment network or the state VR agency in your state, that's a perfectly acceptable way to start as well. But when you start making contact with all of these members of your employment team, it's important that you stay connected with them. You are the boss of these people. You run the team. We are not here to tell you, Terry, you're going to be a truck driver. You know, Dwana, you're going to be a first grade teacher. You can't dip strawberries at Godiva anymore. You know, it's not up to us to tell you what you want to do. We can help you decide by asking you some questions, as to what you might be interested in. But this is a team that reacts to your questions, your wants, and your desires. Now, before we get to the questions, I did mention at the beginning, this is part one. Next time we're going to start, I think we mentioned the Ticket to Work program and IDAs are going to be discussed next time. The Ticket to Work program is another valuable asset that will help you build that employment team. IDAs, Individual Development Accounts, is free money waiting out there. Yeah, if you took that $5 a week, you could turn that into $10 a week very, very easily by finding an IDA in your area. So there's some really good information. And the earned income tax credit. Lots of people that we work with tell us that, well, great, I know I'm going to gross $1,000 a month, but they're taking taxes out of that. And that's the truth. We all pay taxes. But with the earned income tax credit that is geared towards lower wage workers, and sometimes, I'm thinking it's getting up there where it's middle wage workers as well, you can get not only all of your FICA tax back, but a credit towards those taxes. So you may actually get more money back. We can get you in contact with people who can provide you with tax preparation services at no cost. And you can register online for that webinar, part two, at www.choosework.net/wise, or give Jamie a call at 866-968-7842. She'll personally help you register, every one of you, or for TTY users at 866-833-2967. And now I want to take some of those questions. So, Dwana and Terry, are you ready for me?
Absolutely.
Yes.
All right. I've got one person who says, reporting to Social Security is a real bugaboo. We're given a number, but that's it. How do I prepare for the call, and what information should I have on hand?
I was going to say, do you want that question?
Yeah. Okay. My recommendation would be that you make reports. Don't call the 800 number except to create an appointment.
And the Social Security Administration is going to want to see your receipts for out-of-pocket expenses that we talked about. If you actually go to the Social Security office with your pay stubs, if you have an appointment, you can get a receipt right there and keep track of that. The 800 number they're a valuable service, but they don't make decisions about work activity. So it is really important that you do this, that you know who you talk to, that you work with a local office. And you might even be able to set up a phone appointment and send in your wages with the evidence of the expenses that you've had. But whatever you do, you can also do it by mail. You could mail it to the local office. If you mail anything, make sure you've got your Social Security number in there, because I remember working in a field office and we get letters and it would be the person's first name and no Social Security number, and we wouldn't know who it went to. So it is a challenge, but I would not recommend that you use the 800 number to report wages except to set up an appointment to talk to somebody else.
Yeah, and Terry, I think that, you know, when you're talking about keeping receipts, keeping copies of things, this is a trip to the dollar store, you know, and buy an Expando folder, buy some pens, buy a pad of paper, so that when you go to Social Security, all of your receipts for those IRWIs are in one place. All of your wage stubs are in a place. All of the receipts that Social Security gets you are in another part of that folder. And you have paper available to you to find out and write down the names of who you spoke with that day. Record keeping is going to be very, very important. And it's not a big deal. It's not a scary thing at all. It's just a trip to the dollar store to spend $4 or $5 on supplies, and you're all set to do that. How about this one? Are there any ENs that are completely online? Transportation is a big issue for me.
There are employment networks that serve across the country, and they may be by phone. I don't know if, Duana, do you know if there are any that are just online?
That I don't know, but I suspect it would be one of the national ones. You can always go to the website and check it out and see if you can locate one that way with the Find Help tool. You could also call the Ticket to Work helpline and ask one of their knowledgeable customer service representatives. I'm sure they can get you on the road to finding what you're looking for.
Yeah, you know, and I think also, you know, it depends on the services that you need. You know, because if you're looking at somebody who's completely online, if you're talking about getting a resume put together, getting some job leads, you know, then maybe that's the way to go. But I don't think you should discount the potential that there are employment networks out there who would come to you. Because I know, you know, I'm right now in New York, in rural western New York, and there are ENs that will do home visits because people are trying to set up their own businesses at home because they're homebound for some other reason. So it's not beyond the pale, and I think contacting those experts at the Ticket to Work helpline is a great way to find that information. What if there's no EN in your area?
Are you talking about physically in your area, or are you talking about serving your area? Because there are
I don't know. That's,
okay,
that's
well,
what the question says.
Well,
I think we should answer it in all different contexts.
Okay. Well, let me take it a couple different ways. While there may not be an EN physically in your area, there may be an EN that is perhaps physically located in another state that serves your area, that serves remotely, that serves via phone, or perhaps that has a satellite office or something. I mean, just because they are not physically in your area does not mean that they are unable to serve you. You have to try to have an open mind about this. Think about the services that you want. I know that face-to-face may be the service delivery method that you're thinking of, but there may be other ways to serve you just as well. That maybe that phone conversation would work just as well. As you can tell, I'm a pretty lively person, and just in case you had any doubt, I'm just as lively in person as I am right now. Matter of fact, the people who know me would probably tell you that I'm a little bit, possibly a little bit more lively, and occasionally a bit too much. But so just try to. I know that you may have a perception of how you want to be served, but try not to limit yourself so much that you're missing an opportunity, or that perhaps you're missing a chance to build a relationship with an excellent service provider who would be the team member that you need to get you where you want to go.
Yeah. And I think everybody should remember that every state VR agency is also an EN. So there's always going to be somebody that can help you. And just to remind you again, as Duana said earlier, go to that find help link on socialsecurity.gov/work. All of the ENs are listed. And all of the zip codes that they cover are listed. So you'll be able to find who serves your zip code and begin that way. And remember, when you're looking for an EN, you are basically shopping. And you're interviewing them. So if you want someone who's going to do a home visit, call a few of them and see if somebody can do that. If you want somebody who will talk to you, talk to a few of them. Find out who you're going to work best with. There are many, many ways of doing this, but remember that you are the boss, and you are basically hiring this person. You need to get along with this person as a team member, or this relationship is going to have a tough time. So remember, look around, shop around. Kick the tires, if you will. Okay, Terry, I think this is a good one for you. If you start a job, but your disability calls for you to be out, what happens? Some disabilities are tough to call when they're going to impact your ability to work.
That's always a challenge. And it, you know, the what happens is a pretty broad answer. You may be able to, it depends on how long you have to be out, you may be able to have an accommodation from your job that they would keep your job for you. If the question is, what happens to your Social Security benefits? If you're receiving SSDI and you go to work and your benefits are suspended because of work, because you've been working for a long time and making money, there's a protection called the extended period of eligibility that lasts 3 years after your trial work period I was talking about earlier ends. And this is called a re-entitlement period. So let's say you work for a couple of years, something happens, your disability kicks in and you're going to have to be off work, you lose your job, what do? You can go to the Social Security Administration, take your last pay stub, say, look, my work has ended. This is why it's ended because of my disability, and we can start your checks back up. Even after that extended period of eligibility, there's a protection called expedited reinstatement that lets people whose benefits have been terminated because of work come back to the Social Security Administration, say, I lost my job, I'm unable to work because of my disability, and I want to request expedited reinstatement. We make a decision about whether or not you still have a disability, but during the 6 months that, or up to 6 months, you can get provisional payments while Social Security is making that decision. So it's not like the first time you applied when they had to wait for them to make a decision in your favor before you'd get any money. And these provisional payments are yours. Even if Social Security finds that you're better and can't pay you benefits, you would not be overpaid these provisional payments. SSI is even easier for people if there's a break in work, because very often if you're, I'm getting feedback, so it's distracting me, I'm sorry. Very often if you're working and earning a
decent wage, you still have Medicaid under SSI, you can get right back on benefits if you have to, if something happens and you stop working. So there are protections out there to help you if something like that happens. As far as your job, that's going to be between you and your employer, and it does happen, and it happens sometimes that it causes people to lose their employment. There are protections in the law there as well. The Family Medical Leave Act, FMLA, allows people to be off work for up to 12 weeks without pay, but it is a protection. So there are protections out there.
Yeah, I think that's the name of the game right now is safety nets. Almost everywhere you turn, if you ask a question, what will happen? We're going to respond with a program that provides a safety net for you. And as Terry mentioned, that last one, expedited reinstatement, happens after you've been terminated. So even after you've been terminated because you go to work, there's still another safety net. So I think we've tried to make this return to work journey as safe as humanly possible. And again, everybody wants it to work. We want you to be successful. And that's pretty much going to do it. I'm going to give you some more information, some more phone numbers, and some more websites before we sign off. For those of you who did not get your questions answered or had very specific questions about your own situation, please call the Ticket to Work helpline at 866-968-7842 or for TTY, 866-833-2967. If you're exploring and just want some basic information without talking to somebody, socialsecurity.gov/work. If you want to continue to get some information, you can like us on Facebook, http://www.facebook.com/choosework. And if you are part of the Twitter generation, you can tweet or be tweeted and get information that way. http://www.twitter.com/choosework SSA. And I'd like to thank Mike for making everything happen in the background, for Janie for getting those questions to me, and most importantly, Terry and Duana for providing us with some great information. And remember, part two is coming on the 24th of this month. Register for that session at www.choosework.net/wise and come back and hear more information from Terry and Duana. Thanks a lot, ladies, and we will we'll see you all next time.
Thanks.
Bye-bye.